might even join me in a sigh or two, just allowing a gentle arrival. Presence has this sound of relaxation, and it also has the sound of tenderness, that sound we make in the presence of puppies, babies, kittens. Aww. Aww. You might even notice how it feels in your nervous system to make that sound or those sounds or hear those sounds. There can be, I find, a softening, a settling, you know, just from this embodied invitation to be here, to soften open to this moment and to yourself as the one who's experiencing this moment. And I thought for practice today, we might revisit a practice that we've done on occasion of soaking in and savoring beauty. If you like, you might begin eyes open. You might already, you know, have eyes closed, and that's just fine. But if the eyes are open, you might just let yourself look around and savor colors, shapes. Maybe some expression of life, a houseplant, a pet, a tree seen through the window. Perhaps even an appreciation for the beauty or the miracle of sight, this capacity to connect with the world through the visual field. Letting yourself drink in through the eyes and to be nourished. Then at some point, maybe closing the eyes or softening the gaze and opening the ears to the beauty of sound. Perhaps bird song or sounds of life outside or within the house or the building where you reside. You know, maybe voices or footsteps. A sense of being in a world with life moving through it, not alone. Maybe appreciation for the gift, the beauty of hearing. Sight and hearing are portals to connection, sometimes a sense of belonging. The gateway of the ears also can connect us to a quality of spaciousness. Sounds arising in the space of silence. Sounds arising in the space of distance. Drinking in the nourishment of the beauty and the spacious holding of hearing. Grounding into a sense of the body sitting here, the preciousness, the beauty of this body that is nourished by beating heart and breath. Perhaps a sense of appreciation for this flow of life, this life energy in this body. Drinking in the nourishment. Feeling into the presence of the larger earth body as well. A receptive and steadying support of gravity, of ground. As earth body rests on earth body. Opening to the beauty of being held in this way. Drinking in the nourishment. and allowing your attention to rest for this next while, wherever it feels most nourishing, most supportive. Might be in the realm of hearing or sensing body or breath. Or the touch point of body supported by earth. Opening to the beauty of being in connection with life. This present moment, just as it is. opening to whatever's here in this moment. Oh, it's like this. Just like this. Noticing places of tension and places of ease in the body and the mind. Contraction. And expansion. Comfort and discomfort. Agitation and calm. Vitality and decline. Both and is it possible to offer an awareness that's both spacious and welcoming to everything that's here? The full spectrum of experience, both and As we come toward the final minutes of our practice today, opening to the nourishment of beauty and how the spaciousness of beauty offers support to meet the fullness of life. And perhaps reflecting on how this capacity to hold polarities, both and, might support and serve a world where there's a generosity of space for it all. A world that can be with the coming together and the falling apart. And where there can be a sincere wish that all beings, even amidst the impermanence, that all beings know a measure of peace, ease, health, safety and well-being. May it be so. Welcome, Julie. Nice to see you. Trying to find a poem that came to mind, but I do not know if I can remember its title. So, we're continuing with this series on the Five Remembrances, these teachings that offer us a gateway to being with the coming together and the falling apart of things, right? And last time we worked with, you know, this sense that the this earth body is of the nature to age. There's no way to escape aging. And the second remembrance is this earth body is of the nature to have ill health. There's no way to escape ill health. You know, so this coming together and falling apart is not a mistake. It's the natural order of things, right? It's, you know, whether we're talking about, you know, the objects in our lives, sometimes it's easier to see it out there, right? Like the cars that we drive, they get old and the parts start to wear out and we have to get a new alternator or, you know, new brake pads. It's like things don't last forever. We're not quite as attached to the car as we are to like this vehicle that we're driving, you know, and this vehicle too has organs and valves and, you know, joints that get creaky and cranky over time. And sometimes that is accelerated, you know, by what we often experience as an intrusion of illness. You know, whether it's the COVID virus, if you have COVID and you get sick, or the common cold, or, you know, I was thinking about it. I have a little blister on my thumb right now. I was pulling something out of the oven with a hot pad. It's a hot pad that one of my friend's kids made out of those potholder like making kits, and it clearly was not quite up to snuff for the pan I was lifting, and so all of a sudden I was like, ouch, even through the hot pad, you know, and so there's these injuries, these illnesses that show up in the body, some of them, you know, relatively fleeting and minor, and some more significant, right? The cancer diagnosis or the kidney disease or whatever it might be that comes that we have to navigate. And you know, in this round of the five remembrances, we're also exploring how this interfaces with a sense of self, right? A sense of self that we often are attached to, this sense of self of living in a body that has health or vitality or strength or youth, you know, whatever it is. And there's often a lot of interweaving between these remembrances. You know, there's not a distinct line between aging and illness and dying. They're continuums. But particularly these first two remembrances are often quite intertwined. You know, the wear and tears of aging is sometimes experienced as illness. You know, we even in our culture, I think, sometimes hold aging as if it's disease instead of normative functioning. You know, this is the nature of things. And again, sort of an externalizing of what this is, not in this body, but you know, we see this process around us. So I'll share a poem that I wrote years ago on a retreat. Emergence and decline in the stem of a gladiola. Dab of red hinting at possibility. Swirl of color teasing at flowering. Unfolding furls of petal, full radiance, wide, open, confident. A slight drooping with the dulling of splendor. Crepe-like wilting as bloom relinquishes its beauty. Shriveling and dying in decay. Can we be as brave as the blossom? Living right here, with passionate presence. Nothing held back in our moment of illumination. Letting go into whatever arises next, as time flows beneath us, shifting the sands of identity. You know, there's such teachings in nature all around us, right? And one of the things I've always fascinated about, it's true in many flowers, the gladiola is one of the more dramatic. You can have the entire life cycle on one stalk, right? From bud to decay, right there. And we see that it's not a mistake. It's the unfolding. It's the evolution. And that's what these bodies do. You know, we're not any different. And there's beauty in each of those stages. You know, beauty is not owned by the bud alone. And, you know, the beauty is also a resource for opening to illness. You know, this practice today was an invitation to drink in the nourishment of beauty. And beauty is often a gateway into exploring impermanence and decline, right? Part of what actually I believe and have experienced as a quality of what makes something beautiful is it's fleeting, right? It comes and it goes. We probably wouldn't appreciate the blossom as much if it was eternal, right? The fact that we know. I remember in graduate school, it was my one brief stint as a trail runner, and I don't have the joints for running, but the stress of the dissertation drove me to it. And I did have a classmate who was a runner. She ran marathons, so she really was a runner. But we happened to like this same little open space trail, and she was a morning runner, and I was an afternoon runner. And I remember her going, calling me up and saying, "Oh my gosh, there are the most gorgeous flowers on our trail. You have to check them out." And, you know, like, I a couple days later, I, you know, got back to the trail and I went running and I was like, "There is nothing here. What is she talking about? Nothing." And, you know, and then like I saw her in class, she'd be like, "Oh my God, the flowers were so beautiful." And it took us like about 2 weeks to figure out that she was talking about flax. And if you know flax, blue flax, they bloom in the morning. And all the petals have fallen off by the afternoon. They bloom for a day, each blossom, you know, and they bloom over a window of time. But it was like impermanence in a matter of hours, you know, and part of their glory is that they're just this sweet little morning offering, and then they're done. And then the next round come out the next day. So this impermanence. And beauty often is this soft entry into illness, you know, to not just aging, but, you know, decline. It's like, and we're really invited, and I would invite you in working with these remembrances, all of them, that beauty can be a real source of nourishment, you know, like, to continue with the blossom metaphor, to really, like the honeybee, go and sip the nectar from these moments of beauty. Moments of beauty. You know, I may have shared this story in here, I don't know. Sometimes I'm forgetting now where I'm sharing stories, so humor me if I've shared this one, but I was on a hike recently, or a walk in open space nearby, and I came across a bumblebee. Have I told this bumblebee story? Yeah. So I love bumblebees. I mean, they're just a miracle of nature, right? And I so appreciated watching this bee for a little while, because there was like, it would come into a blossom, and it was like just full body contact, just this like, this enthusiasm for a blossom, and then just for a moment or two, and then on to the next, and it was like full body contact, and it was enough contact to really soak in the nectar and carry it with them, with this bee, you know. And that's how I might invite you to explore being in relationship with beauty as nourishment, as a balance, as a balm, as we're opening to these messengers, you know, these five remembrances. And a little poem that, maybe I'll save the poem for the end. So this full body contact, you know, this savoring, this soaking in. And the beauty is not personal. You know, it's just, it's available. It's not that there's a self in any of the moments of beauty, and there's not a self in the one who's, you know, connecting with the beauty. But when there's presence, you know, there's real life, there's real connection there. Just like, you know, there's not a self that's necessarily coming together and falling apart through the aging and illness process. And when we don't hang our sense of self as strongly on the body, you know, there can be more peace. And this is a lifelong practice. I had a teacher who once carried this with me for many years now, who had worked through a lot in her body, you know, strokes and other illnesses. And such an inspiration. She once said, you know, I've come to a place where I no longer have a preference for living in a healthy body. I no longer have a preference for living in a healthy body. And I was like, wow. You know, for me, it was an inspiration to know that that's possible and to keep practicing. And what often, you know, again, it's that slow fading like denim jeans, right? It's not like we wake up one day and say, oh, yeah, I'm over that. But our preference for living in a healthy body might fade over time. Oh, my happiness is not so dependent on that. I feel that over the years. It's like, I still like it when I have parts that work and don't particularly hurt or feel fairly good. And I also realize that my lasting sense of self or happiness is not so locked in to the body being a particular way. And there's freedom in that, because we all have a one-way ticket. You know, we don't know when the ride ends, but we do know the ride ends. And that's where we'll go next time, because most of us actually forget that we have a one-way ticket. So let's gift you just a little time together, and you'll have a chance to check in, to explore with one another, you know, how do you relate to illness? Enjoy And I'll look forward to seeing you back soon. So welcome back. I might just see if there's a brief comment before we come to a close with a short poem for today. Yeah, Julie. Oh, I love that. Thank you, David. Yes, yes. And this is where, you know, these remembrances open us to the full spectrum of scale. You know, the life of a mayfly, the life of a human body, the life of the earth body, that, you know, we can hold the coming together and the falling apart on these different scales. And it's the same teaching. And so, oh, I so appreciate you bringing that in. So maybe I'll just leave you with a poem that's an invitation to drink in the both and of beauty and impermanence on whatever scale it reveals itself to you. So this is a poem by Pauliane Peterson entitled A Sacrament. Become that high priest, the bee. Drone your way from one fragrant temple to another, nosing into each altar. Drink what's divine, and while you're there, let some of the sacred cling to your limbs. Wherever you go, leave a small trail of its golden crumbs. In your wake, the world unfolds its rapture, the fruit of its blooming. Rooms in your house fill with that sweetness your body both makes and eats. So blessings on your week. I will see you next week and we'll continue. Take such good care.